Tavshin and Gimel. Tavshin and Gimel is 1993. What happened in, well, actually, it was almost 1993, I guess 1992. What happened then in Tavshin and Gimel? The Pnei Menachem was the Ger Rebbe. So he was a Sefer Pnei Menachem. I actually asked my wife to get me a Pnei Menachem for my birthday. Because I wanted the book. It's the Ger Rebbe's book. It's like a holy book. But then I realized that happened on the computer. So I told her she doesn't have to get it. Then again, I have about 40, 50, 60,000 books on the computer. So there's not many books she has to get from me. But she got me a little book with a Yoman she bought me. So in case I ever have anything to do with my time. It says, so in the simple pshat, the pasuk is telling us that Avraham Avinu had to leave his land. But we know that the purpose of the Torah is always to tell us how to live. That's why it's called Torat. You could do it. Chayim. Thank you. Torat Chayim. So it tells us how to live. So how does telling Avraham to leave his land tell us how to live? So says the Pnei Menachem, or Pinchas Menachem Migur, that Lech Lecha Me'artzucha is the artzius of a person. Artzius is your earthliness. It's actually interesting. In Chazal, when they want to talk about a good person, what do they call him? A Ben Olam Haba. If you do this, you're going to be a Ben Olam Haba. If you Shona Lachas B'chol Yom, you'll be a Ben Olam Haba. And let's say you do, you're ignorant of Judaism, what are you called? Am Haaretz. What is an Am Haaretz? A nation of the land. I know you know, you're just being shy. A nation of the land. Why are we called? Because if you don't know anything, so what are you connected to? You're connected to the earth. You're connected. It's actually interesting. Noach, at the beginning of the parasha last week, was called Ish Tzadik. At the end of the parasha, he was called Ish Adama. So he went from being an Ish Tzadik up there to being an Ish Adama, a man of the ground. So we're not supposed to be men of the ground. We're supposed to be people of elevated stature. So the Lech Lecha, go away from your Artzicha, from your Artzius, from your earthliness, from being an Am Haaretz, from being a person of the land. To do what? And what else do you have to do? Umi Moladiticha. What's Moladiticha? So that's your birthplace, like they call Israel, the Moledet. There used to be a political party called Moledet. I was wondering why it's called a political party. What do? They just sit around all day talking about politics and drinking and dancing? It'd be like a political party. I'm just thinking a lot about parties for my birthday. And I'm also being sillier than I normally am. In any event, so Moladetecha, says the Pnei Menachem, is where you were born. But that means, based on the Artzicha, is your Artzius, your Pchitut, your lowness, your earthliness. Moladetecha means your childish traits. Hevlei Yemei Hayaldut. You know, everybody has a little child in them. We all have parts of us that are more developed, and we have parts of us that are less developed. As you can tell, most of me is less developed. At least maturity-wise. At least when I want to be that way. But I can also act mature. I'm not sure when I'm acting. I'm acting when I'm mature, I'm acting when I'm not mature, am I both acting? Somebody once wrote a book, how every situation in life, we're acting differently. When we're with our friends, we're one way, with our parents, we're another way, with our teachers, we're another way, when we're in school, we're another way, when we're here, we're there, we're in this type of friend, we're this way, we're in that type of friend, we're that way. So we talked about the different, I remember I read that book many, many years ago, and, it's actually interesting that I actually sat down and read a book. But we all have a little child in us, and what our job is develop to the point where we don't have the child in us. We're supposed to keep the good parts of being a child. What's good about a child? Rav Kook, it's a beautiful passage about childhood. It talks about like the purity of a child. You know, no cynicism and no anger and this and he hasn't been corrupted yet by society and he's not dishonest. And he's just pure and he's whole. And he's very, you know, very, very, very sweet and very, very natural. Very natural. He's no airs about him. You know, we're adults, so we're always trying to put on, like we always have different facades that we have to put on to show people, oh, we're something. Like somebody says to me, oh, Rev Ehrman. Oh, Rev Ehrman. So I have to start acting like Rev Ehrman. Oh. And then somebody else says to me, oh, Allie, I remember you when you were a little boy and you were in diapers. So then with that person, so, oh, okay, so then I'm the little boy again. So everybody, with the way that they remember you, but that's what we're supposed to do is, we're supposed to take all the good that we had in our childhood, meaning not to be cynical people, not to be angry people, and not to be suspicious of everybody, and not to be, you know, not to have facades and try to be somebody we're not. That's that natural, you know, childhood, child selfhood and purity. And on the other hand, there are parts of childhood that aren't so good. Like, for example, why does a child, cry when he doesn't get what he wants, because the child thinks the whole world revolves around him. So recently I was reading an article on by this psychologist on fatherhood and parenting, and he was parenting actually. So he was talking about, well, fatherhood I guess would also be included in parenting. Just like kids, you know, like, he's talking about all the psychobabble about understanding them more and connecting to the little child that's within you through them and all this stuff and understanding that's really okay and, you know, try to... So he said that a child sometimes is saying, give me this now, and he's having a tantrum because he's a child and he has to be told no, because the whole world doesn't revolve around him. That's what little children learn. The little 8-year-old, 8-month-old that you take care of thinks the whole world revolves around him. The truth is he doesn't think much at all. He doesn't really have such a sophisticated thought process, but on some level he believes that's why when he wants something he cries until he gets it, because a child thinks the world revolves around them. No child gets up in the middle of the night and says, I really like some food now, but I don't want to wake up mom and dad. I know they have to go to work tomorrow, so I'll just wait until 8 a.m. and then I'll get up and I'll politely ask my mother for breakfast. And then my mother will hopefully give me something to eat. But I won't disturb her now. That's, I really have to go, but I don't want to have to sew on my diaper again. My mother just changed me. So kids don't think that way. So why? Because the world is about them. So which is beseder. That's the way God made them. We don't want them to be any different. But the older you get, the more you have to realize the world is not here for me. So when you're on the highway and you're stuck in traffic, what are you thinking? I wish all those cars weren't on the road now. I wish I could just go. Right? How many people think, it must be really hard for the guy behind me. Think of how many cars he has in front of him. As many as I have plus one. And look at all that other guy. Maybe I shouldn't be on the road. No, but the road is here for us. Not that I shouldn't be on the road. He should. Or you go to the supermarket. There's a really, really long line. So what do you think to yourself? I wish all these people wouldn't. Why did I go at the busy time? Why did I go at the busy time? What do you mean? What about all the people behind you? I actually get pleasure when I go to the supermarket and I see all the people behind me. I say, it could be worse. What do they used to tell me? End of the line, Ehrman. So, what does Murphy's Law say? Whatever line you go on is always going to go slower. It's amazing. It always works, by the way. It always works. Any line. I go to the supermarket, and especially Manhattan. They have like 6 checkout lines. And I said, okay, where am I going to go that I have to read the magazines the least? Because they have the National Enquirer and all this other stuff about, you know, different aliens coming down and marrying movie stars. So I say, okay, which aisle am I going to go in that's going to get me through the quickest? I say, that one, because I see a lady, she's only buying herself, you know, some Twinkies. I say, this is perfect. The only problem is she goes to buy her Twinkies. She doesn't have any cash. She has food stamps. They have to check out the food stamps. They have to call the manager. They call the manager. The manager comes over. It's a thing. And in the meantime, she's saying, wait a second. Maybe I don't want Twinkies after all. And then I'm waiting. And in the meantime, the guy with 40 things next to me is already finished. So that's Murphy's Law. How do we get onto that? Because the world revolves around me. So when you become an adult, you say, no. The world doesn't revolve around me. The world revolves around Hashem. So that's Molad Yitecha. We have a lot of Hevle Yemei Hayaldus. We have a lot of childish parts to us that we have to think about. Like, is this adult? Is this mature the way I'm behaving? Or is this childish the way I'm behaving? So sometimes we're very childish. Like sometimes we do something to spite somebody else, even though it hurts ourselves. Right? Like say, to cut off your own nose to spite someone else. There's some expression about hurting yourself. Why would somebody cut off his nose? That's gross. But you hurt yourself in order to get back at somebody else. So we do that all the time. A lot of times. They're getting angry. What's getting angry? You're punishing yourself for someone else's stupidity. So that's very childish. You have to realize you're a rational adult and I have to think, this person did something wrong, so why should I ruin my day because she's an idiot? Nikuda. So that's molad yitecha lefrosh mehevle yemei hayaldut meharegilus shenesragil ha'adam mimei ne'urav. We have all these habits that we got into from childhood, like hitting the snooze button, like getting out of doing sometimes what we're supposed to do. So now we can get out of that and we can become adults. Some childish habits we keep with us, like I have kept a few with me. So that's why I have to do tshuva, because now, I think at 39 I'm not a child anymore. That's what I realized. Because they stopped asking me 2 years ago when I get on the bus, if I get a child bus ticket or an adult bus ticket. So now I know I've officially hit adulthood. A little bit more than 2 years. And it says about Avram Avinu, Atos siman lebanecha, that Avram Avinu is a siman for all of us. Haremez shekol echad mi Yisrael, Yachol lehitalot v'latzeit mehavlei hashav shel yemei hane'urim. That everybody has that. Everybody can change. No matter what you were when you were a child, you can be a different adult. So take everything you have, Parshas Lech Lecha, and think, what habits do I have now that I am continuing from my childhood that I just got into the habit, so I'm just not changing? And think, no. Now I can change that. Now I can be an adult. Like somebody is angry at her parents. She's angry at her mother. So, okay, when you're a child, you're angry at your mother, but now you can look at it from an adult perspective. That my mother's a person, and my mother is not perfect, and my mother did a lot of nice things for me, and you don't have to walk around with so much anger all the time. You know, when I was a kid once, my mother was very upset. She had three little boys, 2 years apart. A boy, 2 years later another boy, 2 years later another boy. So I was the third boy. In any event, so my mother once said, when she was very frustrated, she said, you know, I'm a human being too. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're a human being? Like, you're my mother. You're not a human being. So no. You get to a civilization, parents are people too. There used to be a TV show on Sunday mornings. Kids are people too. They used to have a whole song, which I'm not going to sing for you, because I already sang before. Oh, so we said, Lech lecha me'atzecha v'latecha, umi beis avicha. What's beis avicha? So the pasuk says, lo ava Hashem sloach lo. Ava means lirtzot. So beit avicha can mean your father's house. What else can it mean? It can also mean your ritzonos, because again, ava avicha, your ritzonos. So avim shelcha, in Hebrew, it means your father's house. But it also means your ritzonos. By the way, this is not just a chassidish pshat that I'm telling you because I hang out with chassidim and I like to say burichatu. But also, that's the deeper meaning of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram Avinu. He's telling Avram Avinu that you can get out of your artzius, you can get out of your prisus, and you can get out of the habits that you got into when you were a child, and you can also leave all of your ritzonos. And that is, when you're leaving your father's house, that's also the natural ritzonos that you have. We have, by nature, we have certain things that we desire. I read a book once by the Bilavavi. There's a famous set of books called Bilavavi at Mishkan Evne. So he has, I don't know how many out now, 20, 30, 40, actually I have a few here behind me. 1 week, it was me and Dina. That was it. Dina represented the entire humankind. That's 6 billion people, Dina. So that was a very, very big job you had. In any event, so we learned a little bit of Bilavavi. So he said something which really struck me. Rather that strike me than lightning. He said that you have a will. What do you want? What do you want? I want to find a new apartment. I want to find a new apartment. I'm not happy in the apartment I'm in. I want a new apartment. So you start looking for a new apartment. And lo and behold, it's Jerusalem. And every new apartment you look for is expensive. You can't find a decently priced apartment that meets your needs. You're upset. You're disappointed. You're frustrated. So now what do you do? He says you can do as follows. You can say, I don't want an apartment. I don't want a new apartment. I'm happy in the apartment I'm in. The apartment I'm in has a roof. It leaks sometimes, but a roof. It has a door that opens and it creaks, but it opens and it closes, and I can even lock it when I want, and I can lock myself in, and I can spend some very, very special time just with me. I can have yichud with myself. Just lock and just be with myself and look at myself in the mirror. Say, hi, how are you today? And I can have a conversation. I can do funny things. I can listen to music. I have a bed. Most people have in their apartments a roof, a door, and a bed. Really, what more do you need? So I have a bed, and if I'm tired, you don't even need a bed. But if you want a bed, you lie down, and I can lie down, and I can get all comfy and cozy. So I don't want a new apartment. At that moment, you're a happy person. Until now, you're unhappy. Why? Because you had a rutzon, and you decided you want X. The moment you decide you don't want X, then you're a happy person. I do that all the time with myself. It doesn't always work for a long or extended period of time. Like there's something I really, really want. I say, so just stop wanting it. So for a minute, I go, I don't want it. And then, I'm like, well, great, cool. And then the only thing is, then it kicks back in. So you have to convince yourself why you don't want it. And then I have to work in your mind. Why don't I want it? And we say, then you want it when you want it. Ah, that's a good reason not to want it. And then every time it kicks back and says, no, I really do want it, then you think of reasons why you don't want it. And then people are a lot less frustrated in life. But the people who want things that they don't have, it's because they created all of everything we want. It's just because we decided that's what we want. We don't have to want it. We can want something else. So what did the tzaddikim want? There's once a tzaddik who said that if I go to Gehenna and they try to take me out, I'm going to say, no, don't take me out of my HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gehenna. If that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me, that's where I want to be. Imagine a person in life says, wherever Hashem wants me to be is where I want to be. Person goes into the new garbage room in the Rova, they just did shiputzim, fancy shiputzim, because you know you want to treat the Rova cats nicely, the holiest cats in the world, that's where they live. So they did fancy shiputzim in the Rova thing, and one day a person goes in to throw, to do Trumas Hadeshen, is where you take the ashes and you remove them from the Beis HaMikdash, so that's what we call taking out the garbage. Trumas Hadeshen. So you take out the garbage, person, Chas Shalom, and they put it in, and all of a sudden they hear clink. Somebody locked them in. What a nice smell. Or, Maisa Shai Kachayu, somebody's once going on the bus to B'nai Brak, and you know they have that little luggage compartment under the bus, so the guy who's climbed in, put his luggage in, and all of a sudden, clink! In. He spent the entire ride from Jerusalem to Bnei Brak with the baggage. Whoa. So afterwards, he's such a tzaddik that he went to the Rav and he said, do I have to pay for the trip? What?
The Rav say?
He said that you don't pay for that. The bus company doesn't. That you pay for a seat. You're not just paying to get to Bnei Brak. You're getting paid to get to Bnei Brak with a seat. That's what I can do. But, so imagine a guy sitting in there. He's a pachad pchadim. You know, a person knows he's going to come out alive. There's going to be air in there. Maybe he can go through. He can pretend, you know, practice to be a security guard and look through all the people's bags. I don't know what you're going to do. So he spends, what?
It's dark.
It's dark, exactly. It's dark. I didn't think of that. So, you think, a person thinks at that moment, if this is where Hashem wants, of course he's sitting there thinking, what am I going to get? If this is what Hashem wants, then this is where I want to be. I don't want to get out of here. As long as I'm here, this is where I want to be. The moment I'm out, then out is where I want to be. So at any moment in life, we can just change our ratzon. So anyway, that's what it means. Beis avicha, I was just talking about ratzon. That's why it got me off on a tangent. Beit avichu lashon ratzon. Haynu la'azov et haritzonot hara'im shebeteva. And then you leave all of your natural desires. We have natural desires for things that are bad for us. A person has a natural desire to smoke. A person likes to smoke. So that's bad for you. So you can leave that desire. You can desire not to. You know the story of the Rebbe who once came to the doctor before they knew it was so dangerous to smoke, before it was famous. So the doctor, you know, calls him in from his office and he says, "All right, Rebbe, it's your turn." So the Rebbe was smoking a cigarette and he puts it in the ashtray, and the doctor says, "You know, Rebbe, it's really not healthy to smoke." Okay, so he examines him, and then when the Rebbe leaves, he's walking out of the office and the doctor says, "Rebbe, you forgot your cigarette." He said, "I don't smoke." The doctor said it's bad for you, so I don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. It's like on Shabbos. On Shabbos, from people, as much as they're addicted, and from people they're not interested, come about 20 minutes before Shabbos ends, all of a sudden they start getting, you know, they call the first minion on Motzei Shabbos the smoker's minion. You know, they start a little before Shabbos ends, so they end, the second Shabbos ends, and then boom, they can go right to their what's it called. So Baruch Hashem, I smoke, but I'm not addicted, because I'm only a passive smoker, a secondhand smoker. Because when I walk down the street, people smoke in my face. So that's a bad ratzon. So you can leave that ratzon. A person has a ratzon for Coke. So these would be a commercial in America. Coke adds life, have a Coke and a smile. So the emesis Coke doesn't add life, and you can have a smile without having a Coke. So even though it's a very interesting story about how Coke became kosher. There was a famous tshuva. A rabbi wrote about Coke being kosher from Atlanta. A rabbi, Rabbi Geffen, from about 100 years ago when they first came out with Coke. And he was like one of the three people in the world who knew the ingredients for Coke. But I'm not really so interested in the ingredients. What I'm interested in, if that's a bad ratzon, then I don't want it. Only things that are good for you, you have to decide what's good for you. And then it's not your ruts anymore. There's not even a test. There's certain things in life, you ever have this, girls, where there's something you really, really like to do. And then let's say for religious reasons or health reasons, whatever, you decided it's the wrong thing and you stopped and it was hard for you. And then after a while, it just didn't talk to you anymore. That's happened to me. Something I really, really like to do, like TV. I used to sit in front of the TV for hours. I love to watch TV. And then I stopped, but it was always hard for me. I was, I wish I had a TV. I wish I could watch, but I know it's a waste of time, so I won't. And then it's got to the point where, since they're playing pretend, she pretends to love him, he pretends to love her. They pretend to fall in love, and they pretend to fall out of love. They were never in love in the first place. And in real life, they're also in love with some person, and they're going to be in love with somebody else tomorrow. So all this stuff is up in metlomanyan. So you can have that with food also. A person really, really desires a certain food. And then after a while, you just, you know, you're not interested in that food anymore, you know. When you're a kid, you love sugar cereals, you love, you know, different things. When you get older, you know, there's a local kach medaber elecha. So that's what you can, a person can get to a point, that's what Rabbi Yeruchim says. Rabbi Yeruchim was the mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva in New York before the war, died in 1936. So he said that a person has the ability, the greatest level is to get to the point where you don't have bechira anymore. Doing the right thing is so much a part of you that doing the wrong thing isn't an option. So it could be at some point you would want to, let's say, speak disrespectfully to a parent. But then you just get to the point where you completely don't want to speak disrespectfully to your parent. It doesn't even occur to you to speak disrespectfully. That's not what you want to do. You love them so much, or you want to respect them so much, you don't even want to speak disrespectfully. Or lashon hara. There's a certain point where it's fun to speak. And then a person gets to a point where it just, when they hear it, they feel like they're going to get sick. I'm going to get ill. You know, the Brits, they get ill. I feel I'm going to get ill. Get sick. And I think they say sick. I think ill means sick, and then sick means throw up. I'm not really sure. But what I am sure of is that you get to the point where you just don't enjoy speaking Lashon Hara anymore. You don't enjoy hearing Lashon Hara. That's a very high level. So you don't have Bechira anymore for that. It's not like you're saying, should I say Lashon Hara or shouldn't I say Lashon Hara? It's simply not an option. So you get, the more you grow in your ruchnius, the more good becomes part of you, and bad becomes detached from you, and the good you do automatically, and the bad, you know, like, I assume you don't have bechir when you get up in the morning. Should I have a kosher breakfast this morning? Should I order the kosher meal or the non-kosher meal? Or, you know, they go and find, super kosher, sir? You know, kosher's fine. So should I have a kosher meal or should I not have the kosher meal? You know, that lobster looks really good. You know, those big cockroaches? Lobster, Abba, you read up on lobster? My son's amazing. My son started a book yesterday. He's on page 487. I told him, if he learns that way, forget about it. I'm saying that's three mesechtas a day. Three big mesechtas a day he's going to be learning at that pace. So that's very, very scary. Very scary. So, Abi, ani mekavesha, tamuchili, imani, mevayashut chabarabim. There's two, it says you're not allowed to embarrass somebody publicly, so two shittas what publicly is. One opinion says 10 people, and one opinion says 3 people. But Baruch Hashem here, we don't even have, you're a 2. So therefore I can embarrass him, and I'm not going to lose my chelik in olam haba. But no, I have no intention of embarrassing you, Avi. You don't have to feel bad. I love you. Good. So now we're going to move on. So it says, Barashi, maybe mechazal. So that's the first pasuk in the parasha. It's tonight something to take with you on Shabbos when you go to shul. And the Baal Kori says, Lechachom me'artzachom l'adchom v'yisavichal artzachareka. You go from the Ezra's Nashim, and you say, excuse me, do you know what that really means? I don't recommend you do that. In Rashi, they bring from Chazal, She'odia tivacha ba'olam. That God says to Abraham, he says, Abe, I'm going to tell your nature in the world. Meaning, I do this sometimes, like on the computer. Like I have a blog which like at least 10 people read, at least throughout the entire year, over 365 day period, 10 people read it. So that counts as a tzibur, that's rabbin. So sometimes like somebody, you know, wants me to put me, link him or something, you know, something he wrote or something. So I say, I'm going to make you famous, baby. That's like a Hollywood thing. I'm going to make you famous. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, I'm going to make you famous, baby. Now, obviously this isn't about fame, it isn't about ego, because we know that Avraham Avinu, ego was, what did Avraham Avinu say about himself? Avanochi? Afar ve'efer. Afar ve'efer, omrim ha-chasidim, davar nefla me'od. Afar is dirt, efer is ashes. What's dirt? Dirt has no past. In the past, this dirt never made anything. Ashes, but they have a future, but they have no past. Ashes have a past, there used to be something. But ashes have no future. Neither do the ashes. So Avraham Avinu said, Anochi afar ve'efer. In the past, I'm nothing like afar. And in the future, I'm also nothing like ashes, like efer. I'm nothing. So Avraham Avinu was mevatel himself. So it wasn't about Avraham Avinu's ego. So what does it mean, odia tivacha be'olam? So the Holy Pnei Menachem is very careful in the language of Chazal, and he says, this idea of tivacha, ani lo yodea. Avraham Avinu, all the shalom, hayakula lamala min ha-teva. Avraham Avinu, he was above nature. Avraham Avinu was above nature. Did I say something funny? Avraham Avinu was above nature. No, not you laughing, the girl outside is laughing. I'm just basically carrying on with you and the person outside at the same time. It's very impolite. Avraham Avinu, somebody told me today, he read a book. Ki'ilu. Ki'ilu is a very girly word. Somebody told me today, I read a book on how to make somebody like you within 90 seconds. I don't think it takes 90 seconds. On the spot, I want to prove to him you can do it in 3. The little girl was running by, just in the spot, he said, Shalom Chamuda! So, then she ignored me for a second. I'm like, oh no, like, I tried to prove a point, and then she just ignored me. And then she looked back, she stopped, and she gave me a smile, ear to ear. I said, she likes me. She likes me. Not 9, you don't need 90 seconds, you need 3. All you have to say is Shalom Chamuda. I don't recommend you do this to your grandfather, but make it appropriate to each, make it age appropriate. Yes, and gender appropriate. And don't say to little Israeli boys on the phone, Ha'at yodat im ima shalach babayit? Little boys don't like that. I remember being a kid also in English, it's easy, you can say you, but I remember having been taken for a member of the opposite gender more than once. Actually, I only remember once, but I think it happened a lot more than once. Okay, so Avraham Avinu was above nature. How did Avraham Avinu was above nature? Because God said to him, go outside, so look at the stars, you're above the stars. Right? That's why all of Kal Yisrael, that's what I love about being Jewish. We're miraculous people. Why are we miraculous? Where do we begin? With Avram. What did they do to Avram? They took him, and I'll say this in Yiddish, because the Pnei Menachem used to speak Yiddish. Rikim Arayin and Oven Arayin. That was a mixture. They threw him in the oven. Now, what happens usually when you get thrown in the oven?
Burn.
You become very, very sweet challah. Well, depends what you are and how long they leave you in there. But if you're a person, you burn. If you're a person, you burn. So, you know, if you're ever dating, whatever, you go with the guy and say, ooh, I went out, this guy really got burned. Just think, it wasn't as bad as Avraham Avinu. So he gets thrown in the oven, and you think that now he's going to come out, he's going to be roasted Abraham, he's going to be nothing left. So, he comes out alive. So that's already a miracle. The fact that there's Avraham is a miracle. Now he marries Sarah. Sarah can't give birth. Sarah can't give birth. It says, Chazal ain't la beis vlad. She doesn't even have a uterus. She doesn't have a uterus. And she's a 90-year-old woman. 90-year-old is a story that happened a year and a half, 2 years ago, last year, I think. Somebody went up to Rav Steinman, B'nai Brak, Ryan Leib Steinman. And he said to him, Rebbe, this guy had been married a few times, never had children. He was about to get remarried, okay, to a 50-some-odd-year-old woman. He said, Rebbe, who's going to be my Kaddish? Who's going to say Kaddish for me? And Rav Steinman gave him a bracha, and he had a boy. 50-some-odd, his first and her first. Her first. She was married before, but she never had. So I say to you, a 55-year-old woman giving birth, you say, that's very impressive. 90-year-old woman giving birth. So, and she gave birth. So that's a miracle. So in other words, the whole Bria of Am Yisrael is a miraculous creation. And then Yitzchak, the same thing happened with Yitzchak and Rivka. They're not supposed to have children. And again, the same thing happened. And then in Mitzrayim. And then ever since then, in every generation, they're trying to completely wipe us out. And they have a plan. It says in the Gemara in Megillah that if there's going to be a nation called Germania Shel Edom. So it says Germania. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden is one of the commentaries. So he says about 350 years ago, Zo Germania. That's what he says. That if they were able to carry out their plan, they would capture the entire world. That's what it says. So, that was their plan. Their plan was to wipe the world, to cleanse the world of ermine. They would say vermin, but ermine also. Ermine. Of ermine. Because they called us. So the Germans were wanting to destroy us out, and we're here. Not only we're here, what did Tzweki say? Shebechol dor v'dor, omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. So in every generation, they're always trying to do it. How are we going to rid ourselves of these people? And look at us. What are the Jewish people compared to? Kafara Aretz. What happens when you stamp on dirt? On dust?
Nothing.
What do you say? Stamp on dust. What happens to the dust? Comes right back up at you. Now, you've never seen that before? You probably never stamped on dust before, but I have. So you stamp on dust, and it comes right back up at you. Why is that? That's the Jewish people. We're fire irons. You stamp us, we come right back up. So they said, we're going to destroy the Arabs came to go to Mariah bookstore. You can see they have a video. I don't know how someone is videoing it there, but in 1948, you see the Arabs coming on their horses. You know, they're bloodthirsty, they want things, and you have a bunch of, you know, old European, a bunch of old European Jews who've never had an army, don't know how to hold which side to hold the gun. Miracle of all miracles. Miracle of all miracles. We're here. We won. You know, a guy with a, you know, really, really bad haircut, you know, gets up and some Friday afternoon in Tel Aviv, he says, I'm announcing that we have a state. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you're? A bunch of old, you know, large-nosed, Yiddish-speaking Jews. Who do you think you're? Nothing. You don't know how to have a state. You don't know how to do anything. You never haven't had one in 2,000 years. You're an old guy, not that old. And we know how to have armies, and we're al-chav v'chatichyeh. We were fighting with people who live by the sword. So it says that about Esav, but also Yishmael knows how to use a sword or two. So they live by dynamite. You call whatever you want. And we're here. And then in 1967, I remember I was in the army. I was in my previous Gilgal. In any event, they said they're going to line, I think this was Anwar Sadat, he's going to line the Tel Aviv-Jerusalem highway with Jewish skeletons. That was the plan. They come at us 6 days later. So we are, I don't know if I have to convince you of this, but it's good to appreciate sometimes that we're miraculous because the fact that we're here is a miracle. And then I always tell my kids, Jews came to America. They came to America with nothing. Nothing. They just had the shirt on their backs and no English. That's all they had. No education, nothing. And within a few decades, Jews, every doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, professors, CEOs, Jews, everywhere you go, Jew here, Jew there, you know. All the famous, lots and lots of famous, like big people in their fields are Jews, right? You know, doctors, etc., and lawyers. But, you know, you think there's so many Jews in the world, It's not that so many Jews in the world. Just where Jews are, they usually excel. And, you know, working in the Chrysler plant in Detroit, you know, on the assembly line, you know, putting together cars, that's usually not the Jewish guy. So they came, and they worked hard. And b'siyata d'shmaya, you see, there were other people, black people came to America in the 1700s, and they came with nothing, or 1800s, early 1800s, and they're still in the same low place that they were back then. So, it's a miracle. It's mamish a miracle. I mean, saying, like, economically and socially, and just a lot of the problems they have, it's just they never got out of that ghetto. They never were able to rise above that, many of them. Some of them were as individuals. But as a community, there's still a lot of problems. And the Jews, b'siyata d'shmaya, in a very, very short period of time, especially, people came in 1945, you know, after the war, mamish with nothing, broken in spirit, broken in body. You know, 15 years later, they're already sending, you know, a woman's walking down the street with her two little sons in 1953. Say, oh, those kids are so cute. How old are they? She says, oh, Aaron, the doctor, he's 3. And Stephen, the lawyer, he's 1.5. Yeah, and then lo and behold, even though they had nothing, the kids worked hard. And we made it. Baruch Hashem, we made it. So, we are a miraculous people. So what does it mean, Lodia Tivacha Ba'olam? It means that Avraham Avinu was able to be Meromen, he was able to elevate Teva. So Avraham Avinu was above nature, and he's also able to elevate nature. Why? So the Sfasem, this is a big principle in serving Hashem. Shalo Yara Ladas Adam Lomar Kitzavo Hashem Yisbarach Lios. Don't think that God wants you to be Nifresh Me'olam Hazeh. Don't think that the purpose of a Jew is to separate herself from this world. Our job is everything we do on a daily basis, just to bring Kedusha to it. You're at school, you're at work, whatever you do, you're supposed to bring Kedusha. You're not supposed to just separate yourself from everything. Sit on some mountain in Tzfat, close your eyes, and meditate for 16 hours a day. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's Odia Tivacha Ba'olam. That's, I'm going to make your teva, that you're able to take the nature, all of your natural characteristics, all the things you're involved in, and elevate that to a higher plane. Shekol Masav Yul Hashem Shem. It says in the Gemara that there's one word, one pasuk that much of the Torah is telling in this pasuk. Much of the Torah depends. B'chol Durechecha De'eyu. Knowing Hashem in everything. When you eat, when you drink, when you sleep, when you laugh, when you play, when you listen to music, when you talk to your friends, when you go here, when you go there, everything. That's why I love living in Israel. I love being in Israel. Why? Because I sneezed. I sneezed in Israel. It wasn't a regular sneeze. It was an Eretz Yisrael sneeze. It's a different sneeze. There was once a Rav walking down Rehov Yafo, and he was very upset about the preachers. Not every woman in Rehov Yafo can afford clothing because of the financial downturn. Remember we talked about the economic downturn a few months ago? We're saying, oh, the economy. So the economy, unfortunately, not all the women can afford clothing. So guy's walking down Rehov Yafo, and he's so upset. Oh, those preachers. So I think it was Rav Zevin, the holy Rav Zevin. So the editor in Encyclopedia Talmudit, so he took the Rav's arm, and he walked with him. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, mitzvah. 1, 2, 3, 4, mitzvah. So you're walking in the land of Israel, you're sneezing in the land of Israel, you're laughing in the land of Israel, you're working in the land of Israel, everything you're doing is, so everything you're doing has Kedusha, because this is the Eretz Hashem, you're building up the Eretz Hashem. So, that's a much greater way of taking all the natures. You can do that even in Chutz La'aretz, it's not the, but particularly in Eretz Yisrael, we take something natural, it's a land, Eretz Yisrael is a physical land, and we can elevate that. And that's what it means, Ela Oretz Asher Ar'eka, to the land I will show you, which is an elevated land, it's an elevated level of physicality. That's what the Shlach Kadosh says. That's Lech Lecha Me'atzecha, go from your Arzius, from your earthliness, Ela Oretz Asher Ar'eka, I'll show you the land, I'll show you that high level. And that's what Rabbi Elimelech Melezhinsk said, that we don't believe in this, in afflicting yourself. We say, enjoy life. Drink wine. Laugh. Play. But do it all for Hashem. Do it all. Everything you do is for Hashem. That's why there are 48 Kinyani Torah, 48 ways of acquiring Torah. And one of them is Miut Tzchok. To laugh. No, it doesn't mean you can't laugh too much, but you have to laugh a little bit. Part of our acquiring Torah is to laugh. And also to sleep. Miut Shena. And Miut Sicha. To chat. To shmooze. So all these things, it's all part of our Avodas Hashem and part of our spiritual growth. There's a story about the Chazon Ish, a true story. He's once he went out with a friend for an early morning swim in the river in Kosovo, where he used to live in Lithuania. And when they were swimming, like, he playfully splashed his friend. Now the Chazon Ish was not a joking type guy. But so his friend was like, what is that? So he said in Yiddish, A person who doesn't know how to splash doesn't know how to learn. That's it. You also have to be a human being. You have to be a little bit playful. So that's our avodah. Our avodah is kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. That everything we do is for Hashem, and that's how we elevate our artsius. And that's our job in this world, not to separate from the world, but to elevate the world. So that's the avodah. That's the avodah of Avraham Avinu. That's the whole Torah. It's the whole Torah is taking everything we have. You have an animal. From the animal you make tefillin. From the animal you have a Shabbos meal. So that's elevating there. And everything you do. He used to be here. He talks later. I don't have time, but he talks about the Shammai and Beis Hillel. How Beis Shammai, every time he'd see a good animal, he would say, this is for Shabbos. And Beis Hillel would say, no, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So what's Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai wanted to be metaken in everything. They wanted to make everything for Olam Haba Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And that was Beis Shammai. So every time they'd see a good animal, they'd say, oh, this is for Shabbos. And the last one, with Beis Hillel, they'd say, no, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Which means that, no, even today, I don't even need Shabbos. Where it's all going to Shabbos. But I can even be metaken, even Olam Haza, even if it's not made in Olam Haba like Shabbos, I can even be metaken Olam Haza. So you can even be metaken the Teva. And that's how we also, there's also this inyan of being Mosif Mechol Al HaKodesh, that we take Shabbos and we add on to Shabbos. And that's also, we have something Chol, we have a weekday where you're allowed to do Malacha, and we on our own, we sanctify that by turning it into a Shabbos. And that really sanctifies our whole week. Now, our whole week is permeated with Shabbos because we took those extra 20 minutes and turned that into Shabbos. We'll say a little bit before Shabbos. You light the candles. Anyway, you light candles. So you light candles before Shabbos. So you accept upon yourself Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't really have to start. It doesn't start for another 20 minutes. 18 minutes. You should light 18 minutes before. But you should light 40 minutes before. 40 minutes before. In America, they light 18 minutes, right? I don't usually light that. Have somebody doing it for me. So you add on, you make your weekday, you make it Shabbos stick. And this way, by making those extra 40 minutes Shabbos, or those extra 18 minutes into Shabbos, so you're really writing your Shabbos 40. So you're really making your whole week. That means, oh, so this week was Shabbos stick, and then when Shabbos ends, you don't stop immediately, like you don't daven with the smoker's menu. You daven, you make Havdalah, 20 minutes after Shabbos ends. Why? Because you want to make your chol a little bit Shabbos stick. And in that way, you elevate nature. So that's our job. Our job is to be, it says in the Kutzki, used to say, the Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli. You have to be holy, Anshei Kodesh, holy people. Not just holy, but Anshei Kodesh, holy people. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants people. So, Mr. Shem, you should be Zelchet, to take the Lech Lecha, go with it. Rabbi Nachman Breslov said that the best time to change is when you're 18 in Eretz Yisrael. So we're not so far from 18, and we're certainly in Eretz Yisrael. And Lech Lecha, Rabbi Nachman also says, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, go to yourself. Find your true self. Look into your penis. Find out who you are. Where's the best place to do that? In the land of the soul, the land of the holy. So this is the best place to get in touch with who you are. So I think that yourself, you've been to Eretz Yisrael, right? Before you've been? You've been. Avi, are you the Pam Eretz Yisrael? Who are you the Eretz Yisrael? Rak Pamayim. Who know Lak Eretz Yisrael? The Ask Yeshuaya, when he was about a year old, Haita Chatuna Ba'America. Hadoda Shiloot Chatna. So he went to America and then he came back. And he's been here ever since. So he's only been to Israel twice. He's been to America once and to Israel twice. Isn't that cool? Simcha's only been to Israel once. Because he was born here, he hasn't left. Because he didn't go to his Dodas Chatuna because I couldn't pluck him down from Shemayim for that. Plus, I don't know, was wondering if they were going to charge me airfare for the... Anyway, beautiful. Great. Okay. Shavua Baba Zad Hashem. You're invited.